It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's trending?
We continue broadcasting here from Rally House Oak Park, across from Oak Park Mall, getting set for the start of this upcoming football season. Chiefs in action tomorrow. You can come out to the Oak Park location, get stocked up, or visit any of the 16 area locations, plus rallyhouse.com. We're also giving away a couple Super Bowl prize packs, some T-shirts, some tumblers. Just register to win. Come on out and see us. We're here till 2 o'clock. But on the sports side of things specifically, well, the Royals are trending at number one. They've lost 7 in a row. Ugh. Still 4.5 up in the wild card race, but now, 5.5 back in the American League Central. They're back at it this evening right here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern's On Deck show at 5:30 with Seth Lugo on the bump. There was also just some news that hopefully can help them here down the stretch, which is Hunter Renfroe beginning a rehab assignment down in Arkansas with the AA squad. I think we were talking that it's because the AAA team is on the road, so likely, hopefully it's a quick little rehab stint for Renfroe, and I don't know, am I being optimistic? Could he be back by, like, Saturday or Sunday? I don't know.
Sure hope so. They could use offense literally anywhere they could get it, so that doesn't seem out of the question. There's a reason why they choose the team at home. That's because they don't want the travel in there to go with it. So it makes a lot of sense. Next up on What's Trending, according to Adam Schefter, they just asked head coach Zach Taylor whether or not Ja'Marr Chase will practice today. He said, quote, we'll see. Because according to reports from Diana Rossini, today is big day for Bengals wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase, because it is the first true practice of the week of the game where the game plan is installed. It would be difficult for him to play on Sunday if he doesn't practice today. So mystery remains. Actually starting to feel like there's a decent shot. He's not playing week one, which is what I said from the beginning. I thought he'd miss one. I thought Trent Williams would miss one game, but they actually got him paid. He's going to miss one game, and he'll be back for week two against the Chiefs.
We'll find out today, because practice, I think, starts here in like 15 to 30 minutes.
I got to be honest. It starts at 15 minutes, and his head coach is still saying, we'll see. That seems concerning.
He doesn't want to put his foot in his mouth again, you know?
No.
Well, yeah.
He regrets that.
Ja'Marr Chase, I would be stunned if he misses week two, though. That's his Super Bowl. He can't do that.
Tune in and can, you know?
We'll find out. Yeah, he won't even say the name of the quarterback he's facing in week two.
He won't. So. You know, maybe it's easier for him. That way he doesn't have to answer any questions about it. Who are you facing this week? I won't say his name.
But we'll keep an eye on that. Could be big news. For those of you that play fantasy football, et cetera, something to keep an eye on. And tomorrow, thinking of fantasy football, we'll have Charge on the show to get you set for week one.
Once I have to already ask him, do you see Kyle Pitts has a hamstring injury today?
I did see that.
As a limited participant? First year I finally didn't take Kyle Pitts. Thank God. Thank God I'm finally out of that game. Oh,
next up on What's Trending, we alluded to this a little bit during the Chiefs Red Half Hour, but the Broncos and their corner, Pat Surtain II, have agreed to a 4-year, $96 million contract extension with $77.5 million guaranteed. Makes him the highest-paid defensive back in NFL history. That, according to Jordan Schultz, the details on that contract, that is. And, yeah, here in Kansas City, it gives you an idea of what you're kind of looking at for eventually a likely deal for Trent McDuffie, assuming he continues to play at the level he has. He has been sensational and now entering year number three.
Next up on What's Trending, Brian Daboll, the head coach of the New York Giants, confirmed to media yesterday he is taking over play calling duty for the Giants. You might remember former Chiefs OC Mike Kafka had been handling that responsibility for the Giants in what was one of the league's worst offenses last year. Brian Daboll is going to take it back over. I do not think play calling is insignificant, because I've looked at bad play calling. Oh, I don't know. Last year's AFC Championship game maybe comes to mind, where the Ravens ran the ball two times in the second half. You cannot tell me play calling did not play a factor in their ability to win that game. So Daboll, who knows his ass is on the line, wants full control, which usually means you're about to be on the job market. Let's just face it. Once you're that desperate, probably going to work out.
Yeah, if you know your job's on the line, you want to go out with you calling the plays.
He did a nice job doing it for the Bills when he was there.
He did. Next up on What's Trending, the match continues. They announced the new setup for this upcoming year out in Vegas. PGA Tour versus LIV Tour. I like this.
Okay,
Rory, Scotty Scheffler going up against Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka.
Give me
and the
Rory
next
and Scheffler,
edition
man.
Of the match. So I'm here for this. I like it because they needed to bring some new life to it, because after you do the match for a while, it kind of gets stale. They've done the celebrity thing. They've done non-celebrity. This is fun. A little PGA Tour versus LIV. And considering Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka and how everybody feels about them, that this will be really good.
Do you realize how much Scottie Scheffler's earned this year?
Well, he just won $25 million on Sunday, didn't he?
Yeah. He's made $63 million in tournament earnings this year.
While being arrested. I mean, that's impressive.
It's like unheard of for a golfer, too, to make that much money on the course.
What was I doing wrong? Should have capitalized on that.
Oh,
damn.
Oh, man. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold.
I was joking with my kids the other day. They were asking, like, hey, why can't we do this thing? And I said, because they were asking to, like, ride in the front seat. I said, it's illegal, and you could get arrested. You know, just being, like, goofy. And they said, have you ever been arrested? And I was like, oh, damn. About to tell the kids the hard truth. I said, yeah.
Oh.
I told them the truth.
Yes.
I told them the truth.
And what did they say?
I said, I'd been arrested. I told them what for.
And what did they say?
They were like, oh, man, you're going to be in trouble. I was like, I'm not in trouble anymore. It was 25 years ago. I'm not getting arrested anymore.
Did they ask what you got arrested for?
Yeah, I told them. I told them I destroyed things I wasn't supposed to.
And then what did they say?
Yeah, they kind of let it go. They're kids. They just moved on with their lives.
At least now you know your kids are very unlikely to destroy things, because you could always say, your dad got arrested for destroying things. Don't ruin this.
I was going to say this. Wait until one of them mentions it to one of their classmates or whatever, and then it's brought up again.
Did you know that? Did you know that Ruby's dad got? They're going to phrase it like recently. They're going to make it. Well, they're going to make it seem like you got arrested recently. They're going to be like, did you hear that Ruby's dad got arrested? Like, excuse me? Like, yeah, 25 years ago.
I'm going to have quite the reputation at the elementary school here pretty soon. Just you wait.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't feel like I should lie to him.
That's good. You know? I think that's good.
They deserve to know the truth.
I mentioned we're at Rally House Oak Park across from Oak Park Mall. I think something I just witnessed in the store is a good representation of what I wonder fans are feeling like. And you guys can tell me if I'm wrong over on the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. And it's something small, but I think it kind of symbolizes what I wonder is happening. This team is on a seven-game losing streak.
Yes.
We know the Chiefs season starts tomorrow.
Yes.
We know they're starting the three-peat campaign. The Royals are off tomorrow after tonight. Hopefully they snap the losing streak. And then they have three huge games against the Twins this weekend out at Kauffman Stadium, and hopefully big crowds and everything. In Rally House, I'm looking at the wall of jerseys and the wall of T-shirts, okay? And it's a lot of Royals stuff. But since we've been here, I've noticed they've taken down a few Royals jerseys, and they just put up a Kelsey jersey. This is put up a Chris Jones jersey, and I'm not saying you can't get whatever the heck you want. You can. They got it all here. But is that also representative of how fans are starting to feel? Like, this losing streak, yes, it's happening at the worst time because it's September and the Royals are on a playoff push. But also, this losing streak is happening right leading into the start of a Chiefs season.
Brutal.
Are fans jumping ship?
So I thought last night's crowd at Kauffman was embarrassing for a division rival, a division they were certainly still in yesterday before first pitch, for a team who has been in a playoff spot 90% of this entire Major League Baseball season, including being up 4.5 games right now. I thought it was kind of embarrassing. And I understand why your allegiance lies with the Chiefs. They're the defending, the back-to-back Super Bowl champions. But I do sense too many people I know and too many fans being like, well, it's over. Chiefs season is here. And I'm like, excuse me? There's honestly no reason for it. You and I have discussed the reasons why this team is losing, the frustration over it, how they have to right the ship in order to stay in that playoff spot, make sure they stay in that playoff spot.
But they still hold that playoff
spot
by
like
4.5 games.
4.5 games. Not one, not a half game, not trailing by a game. They're up 4.5 games. They're only 5.5 games back of the division. So think about how far away you think their chances are of winning the American League Central are. They could win today and be 4.5 games back. Imagine how Just, I mean, imagine how far away you think the American League Central is from being one right now. You're like, well, it's over. Can't beat the Guardians. They're that same number of games up on their competition. So you can't tell me you shouldn't still be supporting this team in a playoff. Yeah, I get it. You think their chance of winning in the playoffs have gone down significantly because Vinny Pasquantino, their middle-of-the-order bat, isn't there anymore. I would tell you even more, throw your support behind him, not just because, like, to make you feel good, but because the team still can do good things this year. They won 56 games last year, and I want to stop putting that behind me. And they are a playoff team, actively in a playoff spot.
Yeah, the attendance thing, though, I'm kind of done talking about only because we know the reason why the season ticket numbers, the attendance numbers go up the year after you have success. So when you don't have a huge season ticket holder base, weeknights are always going to be more disappointing. Whereas on Labor Day, they had 30,000 out there. But I just think, like, whether it's the Royals jerseys going, Chiefs jerseys going up at a rally house and the Royals jerseys being moved over, whatever it may be, I get the sense from at least some fans that that's how Royals/Chiefs fans are feeling. Okay, well, the Chiefs season is starting, and so some people are ready to just quickly jump off. And the Royals have given some people a reason to do that because of the losing streak, even though I disagree with it personally because this team still has a 4.5 game lead in the wild card race, so it's not like they're now 4.5 out, and I would understand it more. But I think you know how this is. It's very easy for people when a team, an organization for a decade, has not been a winner. Fair or not, people are always sometimes waiting for that moment.
Waiting to be like, told you they're frauds.
And so even though they currently occupy a playoff spot, and to me it's wrong, when you have the Chiefs season starting, I think it's not surprising to see some people do that right now. If this team was winning 7 in a row, obviously that'd be a whole different story. But I think that'll be interesting to see after the Chiefs, let's say the Chiefs win tomorrow night, either way. And the Royals are going into Friday with, let's say, it's an 8-game losing streak. If they can't snap this thing tonight,
they're going to lose more fans.
Yeah, and that kind of sucks.
It does. Because,
but I'm not surprised, though.
Because I remember in 14 what it's like to cheer for both. I remember the Royals winning the wild card game at the same time the Chiefs were winning a gigantic, what felt like at the time, Monday night football game against the defending Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. And the whole city was buzzing. This isn't a one versus the other situation. You don't have to drop your Royals fandom for the day because the Chiefs are on. That's the great news about baseball versus football. This is what happens, and this is where, like, I understand. I understand why it's easy to be down on this team right now based on the way they're playing. Because in football, they can lose 1 week old, and then there's 4 more days, 5 more days, 6 more. There's lots of time to not think about that one loss, to not think they're losing another one. There's a lot of time in football. In baseball, man, they're getting beat every day. Every damn day, you got to feel worse about the team. I lost 3 in a row, 4 in a row, 5 in a row, 6. It just every day is a buildup for, well, now I feel worse. I'm surprised because someone said 1 player equals 7 losses. No, of course not. Vinny Pasquantino is not a 7-war player every 7 days. They technically lost 2 games as part of Vinny Pasquantino before he was hurt. So really, they've only lost 5 more games in a row since he's been gone. But it obviously hit them in a way that they weren't prepared for. It gut-punched their offense, their morale, their clubhouse, and they're going to have to find a way today, Friday, soon, to rebound, or that playoff spot will slip away. But I don't think it's wrong to tell you right now, like, you can feel down while I'm still telling you they're in a playoff spot. They're 1 game back of the second playoff spot, but they'd be right ahead. They're 4.5 games up on anybody who's chasing them.
913 over on the Jay Southland Social Service text line, 913-586-7965. I've seen a lot of this too. I think some of it is already the feeling that what are they not going to do even if they make it?
It's the taste of championships the Chiefs have done. I think this is the Chiefs' fault. And maybe the Royals in the last World Series.
I've seen it a lot on the text line that there's a lot of, okay, yes, they're going to still find a way to get in the playoffs, but they're going to be one and done. And that's what the sentiment I've seen a lot from people. And that might be true, by the way. Just remember, I will say it's not a 1-game playoff. It's a best of three.
So the Diamondbacks had 86 wins.
It's a best of three series. Anything can happen. If we're sitting here saying that the Red Sox are playing so bad that the Royals haven't lost ground in the wild card race, that means the Red Sox fans are saying the exact same thing, that they're going to be one and done. Not everybody can be one and done. I'm just saying. Like, somebody will win a wild card series. I obviously would hope it'd be the Royals. I get the skepticism right now, and it's very easy to be skeptical when the team has lost 7 in a row. So I'm not – Are they in trouble? Absolutely they're in trouble. From a, hey, this team has to snap out of it. They have no offense. Yeah, they're in trouble there. But it could be a lot worse, believe it or not, based off of the wild card standings. The Red Sox could have won five in a row during the stretch, and the Royals would be out of a playoff spot, or at least basically almost out of a playoff spot if that happens.
To the attendance point from the 913, someone says, I know you guys don't want to hear it, but no one is paying to watch on Bally Sports. That's the difference between 14 and 15. First, I would tell you, you can listen to every game for free right here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Royals baseball, your home for Chiefs football tomorrow. We'll be right here on 96.5 The Fan as well. You're probably right that there are less people buying that than you used to watch it before, but I would think that that falls gold in the same line as the season ticket holders and the attendance problems. As in, more people, April 1st, next year, will sign up for Bally Sports from the beginning of the season than ever even considered this year. I've also had 10 people, probably at least gold, personally tell me they caved, I think as they put it in a lot of cases, and signed up for Bally because they wanted to start watching the Royals because they're good again. Typically, and I understand this, people don't buy back into your team until you prove it for more than 1 year. They're not going to just buy in 1 year when all of a sudden, after a year of being really bad and years of being really bad, you're finally decent. But I'm telling you, the team's still good. I know they've lost seven games in a row. Most teams in baseball will over a 162-game season. It is coming at the worst conceivable time, a day before the Chiefs open up their season. But at least the other teams around them are also failing. So there is still a lot that could lay ahead for this team. And I will never believe in a baseball playoff. This is not the NBA playoffs. This is not the NFL playoffs. I will fully understand with you. If we ever have an NBA team and they're the 7th seed or the 8th seed, right, getting ready to take on the number 1 seeded team, Bucks or whatever, yeah, they're not going to the NBA finals. If I'll tell you right now, whoever the 7th seed, unless it's the Chiefs, in the NFL playoffs, is not going to the damn Super Bowl. Unless that 1 year it's Aaron Rodgers when he's the 6th. In Major League Baseball, it don't matter. Bad seeded teams make it to the World Series all the time.
Yeah, I mean, we also, I think what's different too, Cody, though, is
them just, in NHL, man.
That football is king. We know this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not everywhere. Football is king. And this is the first time in the month of September we've had a Chiefs team coming off a Super Bowl with the Royals also playing well, right? Because in 14 and 15, we all know what the city was like for the Royals, but the Chiefs weren't that good. They were division. They were in the hunt, and Andy Reid had them in the playoffs, but yeah. They weren't coming off of championships yet. This is the first time we've seen a September. What's the transition like from a baseball team that's in a playoff spot, also a football team starting a three-peat campaign, let alone just a Super Bowl back-to-back campaign, this case a three-peat campaign. So, look, there's only so many entertainment dollars to go around and all that, but I'm just talking about from a true buy-in of the team. I don't think you should be jumping ship on the Royals. I get if you're saying, hey, I can only spend money on one thing. I'm going to spend it on the Chiefs, not the Royals. That's everybody's own decision, and I get it. You can't always do both.
It's
very expensive. Entertainment dollar can only go so far. But from a buying into a team, I don't think you should be jumping ship. But if you're jumping ship because you're just saying, well, they're going to lose anyway in the playoffs, and this team won 56 games a year ago, so now we're like, now the playoffs, like, yeah, we can be disappointed, but now it's like it's a failure because they might be out in one series in the playoffs. By the way, that same scenario existed when the team was playing well. Nothing has changed to me in that regard. As long as they still get in, that's the question. They gotta find a way still to get in. That's the biggest thing. Can they hold on, Cody, over the next 2.5-3 weeks?
I actually think the bigger threat to them is the Tigers. The Red Sox are cooked. They've had plenty of chances to catch up with the Royals. They stink. They play in a really difficult division. They're not catching up. Plus, the Tigers' schedule's pretty favorable. They face the Padres, which is a very good baseball team, obviously. But then they got the A's, stink. Rockies, stink. They get to taste of their own medicine, right? Like, they get a chance to make up their games on their own at home against the Royals in the middle of September. And then they finish with six games against the Rays and the White Sox. The problem, though, is the Tigers, is this is why you should still like the Royals situation better, is the Tigers played really bad baseball for the entire month of July and a decent chunk of August, which got them 9 games back of the Royals.
Yeah, but it's how it is how you're playing heading into the postseason.
Sure, but I'm not
always. But
what
usually.
I'm saying is they might even get a chance to be how we're playing going into the postseason because they played so bad gold for so long they probably won't make it.
Yeah, I mean here are the teams that are wild cards right now. This is the current streaks. Okay, the Yankees currently occupy the top wild card spot. They've lost one, okay? The Twins currently occupy the second wild card. They've lost one game. The Royals currently occupy the third. We know they've lost seven in a row. They have a 4.5 game lead over the Red Sox, who have lost four in a row, and a 4.5 game lead over the Tigers, who just lost a game, and a 5.5 lead over the Mariners, who have lost four in a row. Everybody, I'm not even exaggerating. Every single wild card team or the next three teams outside of it have all either lost one or four or more. I mean, it's thank goodness, by the way. Thank goodness that's the case.
Where do the Royals rank run differential wise? They done like 4 or 5 now?
They're
behind the Orioles, 80, behind the Yankees.
See, 80 plus 85. They're ahead of the Twins.
That's behind the Astros, too.
Yeah, they're ahead of the Twins. They're just ahead of the Guardians. They're behind the Astros by 2 runs. And they're way ahead of the Tigers, way ahead of the Red Sox, way ahead of the Seattle Mariners in the run differential department.
Sure. I mean, so, I don't know. I just feel like there's still a lot left in the tank for this team. And maybe that changes if they lose 2 more in a row, and we're talking a 10 or 11 game losing streak. Gold, in which case we're having a very, very, very different conversation. But I thought last night would be the time they snapped out of it. It wasn't. They'll have another run tonight with Lugo on the mound. But they got gut punched not just from Vinny. They lost Renfro. They lost Vinny. They lost Lorenzen. For a week, they lost Urseg. Like, they lost a lot in a short period of time where they were stuck, left holding the bag, trying to figure out whether or not they were able to recover. Speaking of holding the bag, did you see the news on our guy Chiefsaholic? He's getting sent. I couldn't believe the timing of this. He's being sentenced for his crimes of robbing 11 banks tomorrow. Tomorrow.
On game day.
Just hours before the Chiefs open up their season as two-time Super Bowl champion.
Xavier Bubadar or whatever, a Chiefsaholic. Sentencing, you cannot convince me it's a coincidence that he is getting sentenced the day Chiefs' three-peat campaign starts. I'm sorry. Somebody has a sense of humor in the courtroom scheduling or however that works. I don't know. Or his attorney requested that. I don't know how that works.
Thought there was going to be like a TV in the waiting room?
I don't know. Like our attorney on retainer can text me and tell me how that normally works. But like, I don't think this was a coincidence that the Chiefsaholic sentencing is taking place on the Chiefs' home opener. I don't think so. Also, it says recommended sentence for the prosecutors is 20 years. His attorneys want 10. You think they should just split it?
I say 15. You know, that way I know they're three-peaties. If that guy gets 15 years in honor of Patrick Mahomes right before the start of the season, three-peat incoming. You can't tell me he doesn't line up too perfectly. He gets sentenced on the same day they open up their defense of their Super Bowl championship
again? The question is, Cody, will he ever get to see Patrick Mahomes play again based on the sentence? That's the question, you know?
He might only get 10 or 15 years? That seems pretty light for robbing 11 banks.
When he was officially charged, we did have some attorneys text in, like actual, not just people acting as attorney on the text line. Like we had some
real attorneys
text in, and they're like, "Yeah, it's not like he's getting 60 years in prison. Like that's just not usually how these things go."
You can rob 11 banks and only get 10 years. He had a lot of fun for that 10 years. I'll say that. He had a lot of fun. Not enough fun.
No.
If you got to keep every cent, do you think you take that trade off?
No.
How much money do they have to pay to go to jail for 10 years?
Probably like 12 to 14 years in prison.
10 years in jail, how much money? Billion? What's the number for you? You don't have to work again. It's got to be a number you never have to work again.
And I'm insured safety and everything in prison?
But you can have access to the $10 billion right away. So you can buy some safety. Or the billion or whatever. You can buy a little safety. You can buy some goodwill.
No. The answer is no.
No?
You cannot put a price on 10 years of freedom. I'm serious. You cannot put a price on 10 years of freedom.
5 years. You do it for a billion?
No.
5 years, $1 billion?
I know there's somebody that served time that's saying, yes, sign me up. As someone that's never been behind bars, I don't – 5 years, 10 years, no. There's no doubt about it. No.
It'd have to be a much shorter sentence for that. So I'm going to say, how much money did he get? I mean, he had to give back the painting.
He won money, then he gambled. And then he would rob banks again. That was how the story was told a little bit.
Someone says they'd like your odds, Gold. What are the over-unders on years spent in jail?
Oh, gosh.
You know? What do you think a sentence
is? I feel terrible because there are actually victims at these banks that have mental issues now the rest of their life because of the stress and trauma. So that's why I feel bad even doing that. I don't know, man. Over-under 13.5.
Okay.
I don't
know. I'll take the over. I'm going to guess that his lawyer's not. I saw his lawyer. I'm taking the over on that end.
Yeah, Drew, do you have the audio of the attorney? I hope his attorney tomorrow gives a statement on
yeah,
the
we'll
courthouse
get it
steps
back.
Again. I hope his attorney gives a statement once again after sentencing.
Oh, yeah.
Make
it
the music coming back from break.
Chiefsaholic is sentencing on game day for the Chiefs and Ravens. Up next, as we continue broadcasting live here at Rally House Oak Park, getting set for the start of this 2024 football season. You can come by, register to win a Chiefs Super Bowl prize pack. We're here till 2 o'clock. And up next, we get back to the Royals with our Royals insider, Josh Fernier, here on 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. Drew Nixon keeping us on the air, producing the show back in our studio as we are live out at Rally House in Oak Park, right across from Oak Park Mall, getting set for the start of this Chiefs football season. Be sure to come on in and register for our Super Bowl prize pack. We've got that going on until 2 o'clock today. Maybe got a lunch break. Perfect time to stop in. We got a couple people picking up. So looks like some Mahomes T-shirts in front of us. We had someone picking up a Felix Ndike Uzama jersey a little bit earlier on as well. Thanks for coming. I can't hear you right now. I got my headset on. I'm sorry. I apologize. I can't have a conversation, but I appreciate it. Thanks for coming out. We will get to our random question of the day here in about 10 minutes or so. But let's go out to the hotline. Welcome in our Royals insider, Josh Fernier, who's
You're
got his
big-timing
on deck
people
show tonight.
Big time, man. She was really trying to talk to him.
I mean, I'm mid-sentence, have to do a radio show. I can't just stop and have conversations while we're on the air. I mean, Cody was about right
now. I was not going to help.
Was not going to help. So you
I was
know.
Catching up with some people.
Yeah, you know,
I'm a man of people. Vern.
The show goes on, man. The show still goes on.
Well, neither one of you looked like a man of the people sitting in those fancy ass seats yesterday.
Those were great, Vern.
Those seats.
Those
are pretty nice.
Oh my goodness, people down there were super nice too. We had a great night, and it is.
I'd be nice too if I was filthy rich.
It's the life, you know. Nice little beef tenderloin, all you can eat, all you can drink, just right there, you know.
Wow, man.
You know, Denny Matthews eats down there, Vern. Have you considered trying to get down there?
Yeah, Vern. Why aren't you eating down there? You've been around the club enough.
Yeah, I'm basically Denny Matthews. No, I mean Denny. No. Denny goes wherever he wants and does whatever he wants because he's earned it. Think about the seasons he has trudged through. Yeah, no, Denny can go and do whatever he needs. Just give me a salad bar. Let me do what I want to that salad bar and eat all the hot dogs I want, and I'm straight.
I get it. All right, where are we at with this team right now, Vern? We know the losing streak, 7 games. It's rough to watch them. This offense in particular has just been abysmal. We know the wild card race hasn't changed all that much, though. So where are you at, and where would you say fans should be at this
point? Well, listen, man. 2 days ago, when Vinny went down, and when there was a thought that maybe Urseg was done as well, I was prepared to cancel Christmas. And as we continued to watch this team lose, it had me concerned, no doubt about it. But you know, my mantra since Vinny went down in that disastrous night in Houston, my mantra has been just hold on. I don't need you to play well. I don't need you to win the division. I just want you to hold on. Even if you don't, right? If the Royals fall short of the postseason, nobody's going to look back on 2024 with any disappointment. No, we're going to remember it fondly as the year that hopefully rekindled a lot of people's love for baseball in Kansas City. But yeah, just hold on. And they've done just that. Now, they haven't actually done anything to hold on, right. But Rafi Devers and Alex Cora and the Boston Red Sox sure are doing all they can to keep this ball club propped up, as they've lost 9 of 13 in the Riptide. They've been outscored by 25 runs in the first 13 games, and yet Boston has gained, during this seven-game losing streak, Boston has gained 2 games on the Royals. So, I opened up the post-game show yesterday wondering, is it all good? Because while it doesn't feel all good watching this offense average 2 runs a game since Vinny went down, the standings with 22 to play, up 4.5 on Boston and Detroit, it certainly feels as if it's all good. It's strange to say, but if Boston's not going to play better, you're buying time for someone in that Royals lineup to find confidence and turn this thing around.
I think their problem, Vernon, I actually think Detroit's the bigger threat now than Boston, because Detroit can still take care of their own business against the Royals coming up in a week and a half or so. But the reason why I feel like at this point that it's a problem for them is, like, these teams, like Boston and Detroit, are essentially desperately praying that the Royals never accidentally win 3 games in a row or win the series against the Tigers. Because if they accidentally slip into 3 games in a row and then it's 19 games remaining, well, then there won't be any time left to catch up on there if you lose a single game yourself.
Yeah. Now, the Royals, of all the teams that are in the fight, I mean, unless you consider Tampa still in the fight, but the Royals have the toughest schedule in the American League remaining of the teams that are in the American League postseason push. You have Seth Lugo on the hill, and really, with Matt Quatrero likely returning tonight, the message needs to be, guys, I don't need anybody to carry us for the final 22 games. I just need you to help me win 1 game. Yuli Gurriel and the rest of the geriatrics that they just brought in, I just need you to help me win 1 game. Give me 1 play, 1 at-bat. Michael Massey, MJ Melendez, I don't need you to replace Vinny Pasquantino. Just help me win 1 game. I mean, how many is it going to take of these final 22 for the Royals to reach the postseason? Can they go 12-10 knowing that you still have another 7 games in the Riptide, the 3 with Detroit, 3 against an Atlanta team that is likely going to be fighting for their lives? And I don't know if anyone would be excited about facing Chris Sale, Reynaldo Lopez, and Max Fried down the stretch. So the Royals have a very difficult schedule, but, like you guys talked about yesterday, Boston's isn't easy down the stretch. Yes, Detroit has their hacks at Kansas City. I'm just not a believer. I just don't think Detroit's as talented as Boston. But you know what? Anything can happen in a 3-game series. Anything can happen in baseball. But, I certainly wouldn't say that I feel good. I wouldn't say that I feel confident heading into these final 22. But I know they're saying the same thing in Boston. They're saying the same thing in Detroit. So, thankfully, the Royals are the team with that 4.5-game cushion.
Do you get a sense that Bobby Wood Jr. is pressing? I feel like he's trying to save the offense with every at-bat right now, which is not something I've seen out of Bobby Wood Jr. at any point during his major league career. It really feels like he feels the weight on his shoulders to make sure this team still gets where they want to go.
No, I haven't sensed that really at all. I think they're being a lot more careful with Bobby Wood Jr. Yesterday he's on base 3 times. He hits a pair of ropes. Day before that, they work around him in the first inning and never really gave him anything to hit back on Monday. By my count, he had 2 pitches to hit in his 4 trips to the dish. He homered back on Sunday, homered again back on Saturday. The story with Bobby Witt Jr. is, unless the other manager's an idiot, you don't give Bobby Witt Jr. anything to hit.
That's fair. I wouldn't either.
Unless Sal, and this is why I think Salvi,
especially with the lineup right now. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I think Salvi needs to be in the 3 spot. But you look at the 7-game losing streak. The Royals are 3-for-37 with runners in scoring position. Bobby and Salvi are a combined 0-for-4. That's it. 4 opportunities with runners in scoring position over the course of the past 7 games. So the rest of the team hitting .182 with runners in scoring position. This is never been a murderer's row lineup. This has been the big three in the middle, and then everyone else just play your part. Allow the scoreboard to dictate your approach at the dish. You remove one of those big three bats, one of the top 15 run producers in big spots, one of the top 20 clutch hitters in the sport. You remove him from the lineup, and yeah, this 1-9 is suddenly, I don't want to say easy because you have an MVP and a future Hall of Famer in the lineup, but it's a lot easier to maneuver your way through, especially when you're a good starting pitcher. And that's what the Royals are going to face in Atlanta, against Minnesota, against the New York Yankees, again tonight against the Cleveland Guardians. And then if you make it to the postseason, you know, I hear Paul Hoover and the coaching staff talk about, and J.J. Piccolo mentions, oh, we're facing so many good pitchers. That's what it takes to get into the postseason. I know Bobby can hit good pitching. I know Salvi can as well. Someone else needs to prove that they can too.
We're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, his on-deck show tonight at 5:30. We saw today Hunter Renfro is going to begin a rehab assignment down in Double-A. Do you have any sense from people you've talked to? Are they hoping this is pretty quick? Like, could he be back Saturday? And if he is, you look at his numbers, boy, oh, boy, it seems like they could use that bat quite a bit at this point.
Yeah, and how about the spot he's going to find himself in? I think he could be back as early as Friday. I mean, he could be there for the opener against the Minnesota Twins. But, man, it's – and I had someone call up the postgame show last night and say, you know, they why not bring up Jack Caglione, you know?
He's hitting like two – well, he's not hitting well down in A-ball or whatever.
Anyway. He's had a nice week, but, yeah, and he's 21. Do you really want to say, hey, kid, the entire city is expecting you to turn the offense around in September? That's just not
fair.
That
puts a lot of pressure on him.
That's what they are going to do to Hunter Renfro, right? I mean, Renfro returns, and he immediately, in my opinion, needs to become the cleanup hitter. I don't know. Maybe that's not wise to stack four straight righties, but – I know Salvi and Bobby are my two best hitters, so I need them coming to the dish. Tommy Pham's done nothing but hit ropes since he's joined this Royals lineup. And, you know, of everyone else, Hunter Renfro's the best hitter. You know, for as good as MJ has been again here in the second half of the season, MJ was one of the top 20 hitters in baseball in the month of August. Even with that, you know, big punch out yesterday in a huge spot. MJ, Massey, a lot of these guys, as you know, going through this for the first time in their careers, and we've talked about how every game is the biggest game of their life. That's not the case for Hunter Renfro when he returns. So, get him back, and boy, it's a heap of pressure immediately on his shoulders to help turn this offense around quickly.
Vern, what do you think's going on with Lucas Hursek? Just like a He had a couple of rough outings. I didn't think he looked sharp before the injury. Obviously, yesterday I could just chalk up to hadn't pitched in a week, maybe didn't have it. But are there real concerns with him?
No. He's been available since Sunday. They just haven't had a lead, or they were saving him for the next day in case they did get a lead. So, yeah, that was – I would have let him finish off that eighth inning, to be quite honest with you. I didn't quite understand that decision to pull him, to allow James MacArthur to face the nine hitter, and you know, MacArthur doesn't get the job done. No concern with Lucas Hursek, because what's the alternative? I mean, he's all you have out there right now in the bullpen, and he too going through a playoff push for the first time in his career. You guys mentioned it earlier. You know, we talk understandably so much about Vinny Pasquantino because that is the biggest loss, but Hunter Renfro, Hunter Harvey, Michael Lorenzen, Hursek was out for a few days. The reinforcements that this team brought in at the trade deadline outside of Paul DeJong have all found themselves on the IL or found themselves on the shelf for an extended period of time. And, you know, some of the bats that you were banking on down the stretch have, in Hunter Renfro's case, also found their way to the IL. So there really isn't a unit outside of this rotation right now where you feel confident going to the ballpark. And right now, to me, that's the biggest issue with this team. For the first 4 months of the year, guys like Massey and MJ, Mikel and Izzy could drive to the ballpark thinking, hey, the guy on the hill is going to dominate today. If I can just play my part, we're going to walk away with a victory. It was a different confidence, right, having an elite starting rotation. Now, I think the drive to the ballpark isn't so much about how great our starting pitching is. It's what can I do to pick the offense up? What can I do to turn it around? And when you're starting to try and do something different, that's when skids happen. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now from this offense.
Vern's on Deck show tonight, 5:30, right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. Seth Lugo on the bump. Vern, we'll check in next week, and boy, oh boy, I hope things have turned around by then.
Hold on tight, boys.
There you go. That's Josh Vernier. He joins us each and every Wednesday. And, of course, you guys hear him before and after every single Royals game here on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Nate Taylor from The Athletic going to join us, I believe, on site here at Rally House Oak Park, right across from Oak Park Mall, getting set for the start of the season. Want to get his thoughts heading in to the opener, of course, and how they match up a little bit with the Ravens, plus any update on potential timeline for Hollywood Brown, all that kind of stuff since Nate's been out of practice. We know Brown's not playing tomorrow, but any sense on now? Is it a two-week thing, or is it going to be that Falcons game in week three, perhaps, when we see Hollywood Brown for the first time in a regular season game in a Chiefs uniform? But in the meantime, let's get to it.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7965. She'll be back up on the video stream tomorrow as we're out on remote here at Rally House, as you'd previously mentioned. I'm not going to make
Cody's not wearing red, so he took the video stream down since he's not wearing red. Everybody else, everybody else in Kansas City is wearing red.
Okay, that's not why I took it down, but I'll ask a question about clothing.
Okay.
Because it came up while we were sitting at the game last night.
Yeah.
The question asked at the Royals game last night via the Jumbotron is the question I will ask you today. Should animals wear clothes?
Yeah, that was a
question they legit. And I want all animals. If you say only dog able to wear clothes but not cats, you better give me an explanation. 913-586-7965. Gold, are you anti-animals?
So my dog does not have clothes. Never been a big fan of that. I don't mind if people.
Your dog doesn't get cold?
I'm sure she has fur. You know, that's animals have fur. You know, I would say
no. Get cold?
I would say no, but I also will say there is a difference with the dog and the cat. A dog, dog's man's best friend, closer to man. Clothes makes more sense than the cat.
Wow, so you think the clothes... Wait. You think clothes make more sense on the cat?
No, on a dog.
Oh, on a dog.
Dog, man, best friend. Man,
okay,
best
so
friend.
I am not anti-dog clothing. I've never bought just like a t-shirt for
here
a dog.
Here at Rally House, I'm sure they've got some Chiefs jersey for a dog.
I've never bought just like a jersey or a t-shirt for a dog. I have purchased dogs light jackets.
Okay.
Because I had one dog who act like they were just like going through pure misery. To be outside when it was like 11 degrees outside.
I bought the
little
foot covering things before.
Looked awful. That's essentially clothing.
That's more like a
But that's how I was treating the jacket. They were acting so miserable that they weren't going outside when they should. Put them in a little lightweight jacket. They were all for it. Cats. I just don't know why you do that to yourself. Why the hell would you try to wrestle a shirt on a cat? Why would you do it to yourself is what my question is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you want to put a sweatshirt on your cat. I don't know why you do that to yourself. Dog can just put the shirt on. They're not going to fight you that hard on it. The cat probably would.
Yeah, the dog, I mean, fur is there for a reason, I will say. Like, that's kind of how the animals have evolved. We've all evolved, and dogs have fur to keep them warm. Wolves had fur to keep them warm. Like, it's, you know.
Yeah, but as they get more domesticated, dude, they're not like wolves anymore. They're not like water repellent. They're just domesticated. Your golden doodle, I don't think their fur's holding up the same way you're making it sound like necessarily on that end. Someone says, as a general rule of thumb, no, but there are times in the winter where it can help for dogs.
Yeah, I thought I wanted to clarify because I thought I was correct on this. There was some Netflix had something about dogs and like what you just said. Yeah, dogs and wolves, at 99.9% of DNA dogs and wolves share. There's only 0.1% that's different.
I think it's a warmth DNA. I got to be honest. I think a wolf is better equipped to handle the cold weather.
99.9%, they share a large amount of DNA.
This isn't the Iditarod, dude. I don't think that your dog could be out there in the Arctic just kicking
it. Not the Arctic. Nobody's saying that. But the point, like, they still have fur for a reason.
I'm not saying that
you
they
know?
Don't.
Anyway, someone did say fur, general rule of thumb. Let's see, there are times in the winter where it helps for dogs. Someone else says humans are animals. So given the option, I'd say animals, no, should ever wear clothes.
From the 913, I bet Cody's hairy like a bear. Opposite. Opposite text line. We've covered this. I'm practically hairless.
What's the name? There's the dogs that have
no
fur.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. There's like one of those.
opposite. I'm like those skinless cats that you know, that like
Cody
Dr.
and I
Evil
were.
Has.
Cody and I were in Vegas. We were out at the pool. I can.
How many hairs do I have on my chest? Like six?
I mean, I didn't look that closely, but I can confirm, not a hairy person.
No.
Not a hairy person.
I mean, it's not that hard to see. Just look at my arms.
Yes. Yeah,
honestly, I would expect you to be hairier based on your arms and legs.
My
your
arms.
Your chest and back are less hairy because your arms and legs, quite.
Yeah.
Quite. So I thought maybe there was going to be, like, I think the one time I accused
you. No, the guy at the pool, did you see the guy we were talking to from Wisconsin?
Oh, man.
Okay. There was a guy that was from Wisconsin.
This guy doesn't deserve to be thrown under the bus.
Nobody
he
knows.
He was practically wearing a sweater.
Dude. No, oh, my gosh. Nobody knows who this guy is. We were there. He was from a Wisconsin radio station. He looked like he was wearing a like a fur coat. That's what he looked like. That's what you thought I was going to look like?
Oh, man.
Not the case. Not the case.
No, that. Yeah, I don't think I thought you were going to look like that.
That was extreme.
I mean, that was like he was wearing a wool sweater in the pool.
It was something else.
That was a different level.
Yeah. What?
Drew, what's your hair situation?
Drew, I'm not even kidding. This guy
has a lot of hair, man.
Drew, it was. It
I
was
think
like,
if I
he was
like,
a wolf. He was a wolf.
Yeah, he might share 99.9% DNA with a wolf.
It was
also that
crazy.
Man should just like. I'll just be honest. If I had that amount of hair,
you got to do something.
Once a month,
yeah.
We're going
but
to
he's probably married. He's
there.
Probably married, and he lives.
I
in,
don't care.
He lives in Wisconsin. I just imagine him living out in the wilderness. You know,
you gotta get that cleaned up a little.
It was
okay.
It was
personal height. You
crazy.
Gotta get that cleaned up a little.
It was a very large amount of.
Are you're asking me about my hair situation or my pet situation?
Excellent. Go
ahead. I'd like to be.
It's evolved to you now, I guess, according to Cody.
Yeah, I wanted to know what your hair situation was. True.
Chest, not very much. Face, obviously, I can't grow any facial hair to save my life. Legs, though, hairy legs.
Yep.
We very, very, very similar to what you said, Gold, though, regarding the pets. Our chocolate lab,
you
who
also
our chocolate lab did not have any clothes, shoes or anything like that. We have a Chihuahua mix as well, though. That's where the shoes go on, the sweater goes on, particularly during the wintertime. Because she would not go out outside to go to the bathroom at all when it's freezing cold outside. She wouldn't do it.
My dog wouldn't go out was a beagle. I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah, mine's a beagle mix, Rhodesian Ridgeback. I'll put sometimes the paw coverings because it gets so cold in the snow, right? Like the dog's like lifting her paw up.
Yeah.
Too cold. So
sure.
That kind of thing. But other than that, no, not a. I don't think my dog would let me put like a Mahomes dog jersey on at all. I think she'd be, clawing at it and trying to. She'd be uncomfortable. No, if your dog's uncomfortable with the clothes, why are you making the dog put on clothes?
I think some like it.
Isn't that a dog clothing thing right there? Right here at Rally? Super Bowl champion
That does
one?
Appear to be a dog shirt, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it sure does.
All right.
And then, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, it's a dog shirt.
That's my random question of the day today. Truly random today. Sometimes I'm accused of them not being random.
And
it went
that
off the
was definitely
bit,
random.
Yeah.
It happened when we were at the Royals game last night. It was Bark at the Park, and that was the question that they had asked them. As we continue broadcasting from Rally House Oak Park, right across from Oak Park Mall, getting set for the start of this 2024 NFL season. You can come by until 2 o'clock, register to win a Super Bowl prize pack. We got two of those to give away. You just got to fill out a quick little form. It takes like 10 seconds, and then we'll get you entered for that. You'll get a call if you are a winner. Up next, we keep talking Chiefs football, though, on 96.5 The Fan as Nate Taylor from The Athletic joins us here on Cody and Gold.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.